Again,
the word of God is voice activated. It's voice activated. And the reason why we're not seeing results, we got to activate it. The Holy Spirit that lives within inside of you, he agrees whenever you speak the word. That's his job. He's like, oh, you're saying exactly what I've been saying. There's agreement that happens. And when that happens, power is released. Proverbs 18, 20 through 21. A man's belly shall be satisfied with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Start speaking the word of God and start reaping the benefits of it. Job 22, verses 27 through 28. Thou shalt make thy prayer unto him, and he shall hear thee, and thou shalt pay thy vows. Thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee, and the light shall shine upon thy ways. Start decreeing what God has said, and God will be true to his word. Number four, this is the part I really love. It is the primary weapon of attack against Satan in spiritual warfare. The primary weapon of attack against the devil is the rhema, the spoken word. Ephesians 6, 13 through 17. You probably have all read this verse about the spiritual armor. Look what it says here. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the rhema. The sword of the Spirit is the spoken word, the rhema of God. What gives the Spirit its edge is when you speak, it's the word of God. So when you start quoting, which is what Jesus did, when the devil came to him, he just started speaking. Man shall live by bread alone, but by every rhema. It's not enough just to think about the word of God, but you've got to speak it, you've got to declare it, you've got to decree it, you've got to say it. So, just to review, confession benefits. Speaking causes the thoughts or idea to be received or taken into one's spirit. Speaking the word of God feeds our spirit and enables us to apply its principles and our actions. Speaking the word of God activates its power and invokes the fulfillment of its promises and principles in our lives. And it is the primary weapon of attack against Satan in spiritual warfare. One of the things the devil wants to do is to try and get you to shut up. Don't shut up. We see in many times in Scripture that there were people that were possessed with a dumb spirit. A dumb spirit is someone who has the incapability to speak. And what the devil wants to do is get a dumb spirit on you, hit you with so much stuff and problems that I don't even know what to say. You're speechless. Don't let the devil catch you speechless. Always have a word. Always walk outside packing and carrying something. I'll leave that alone. I'm running out of time. Okay. Sister Regina, I'm going to help you out with this whole remembering the verse and stuff. This is Curry Blake, and this is a method that he developed of remembering Scripture, and I've utilized it, and I'm telling you, if you do this, you will experience the power of God, I guarantee you. Every time I have done this method, remember I said that the Holy Ghost is voice activated? Yes. Whenever I've done this, I felt it start bubbling out of me. It's just, he said, okay, I'm here, what you want me to do? When I've done this method, all right? Here's the Curry Blake method. The Curry-Blake method is the number of times a verse is stated out loud is equal to the number of words in the verse, and with each repetition, a different word in the verse is emphasized, starting with the first and ending with the last. So I'm going to give you an example of what that means, okay? Watch this. So let's take a verse we all know. All right, I'm going to take a short verse. So let's say Psalm 119, verse 11, all right? So now I have the word thy emphasized. So here's the thing. As many words there are in the verse, that's how many times I'm going to say the verse. And every time I say it, I emphasize a different word in the verse. And you notice that as you're emphasizing different words in the verse, revelation will start hitting you, and all of a sudden the Spirit will start moving. So I'm going to go through it. Watch this. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. You get the idea? You do that, you're breaking apart every word that's in that verse like a cow chewing the cud. And the revelation, the power of each word that's in that verse becomes actualized, and the Spirit of God begins to move in your situation. This is one of the ways I've started memorizing verses, and I'm telling you, I start shouting as I do it. Because the Holy Ghost in me is voice activated. He starts waking up. How can I assist you? Where can I find the thing that you're looking for? That's the Corey Blake method. Now, this next method is a method I developed during my teen years, which I like to call the praise method. And the praise method is a verse is spoken out loud and immediately followed by praise to God for it being true and real in the individual's life. I would get lost in prayer doing this. The reason why I had the scripture prayer list, I would read one verse on my situation, take 5 minutes and go bananas praising God over that verse being true. And then I would quote other verses that deal with that same verse to solidify that one verse being true. So then I would just take a verse, let's say a verse on finances, okay? I quoted this earlier, Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. All of my needs are supplied. Thank you, God, that my finances are provided for. For you said in your word that the blessed Lord and maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. Father, you said in your word you withhold no good thing from them that walk uprightly. God, you said in your word that I was young and I am old, but I've never seen the righteous forsaken nor a seed begging for bread. God, you said in your word the wealth of the sinner is laid up for the just. Thank you, God, that your word is true. God, your word is forever settled in heaven. Psalm 119:89. God, you said in your word that I rejoice that thy word is one that findeth great spoil. God, I rejoice because your word is true. God, you said in your word in Psalms 33:4 that the word of the Lord is right and all his works are done in truth. God, thank you because your word is true. Thank you that the problem's already done. Thank you that I know that there's no weapon formed against me that can prosper, and every tongue that rises against me in judgment thou shalt condemn. For this is the inheritance of the servants of the Lord. Thank you, God, that you said that with men that this is impossible, with God all things are possible. And then I start praising God because his word is true. I can lose hours doing that. Take one verse, praise God over it, and it will get in your spirit, and faith will rise in your spirit. This is how I memorize scripture. The word of God is to be revered. It is to be cherished. It is to be honored. It is the most precious asset that we have, is the word of God. That's the praise method. I used to do that for hours. That's how I got my wife. I had a whole bunch of verses on wives and on marriage, and I would take a verse and praise God for my wife. Well before I ever met her, did that for 5 years, and look what God did. Amen. Just telling you, this works. Amen. Let's move on. Psalm 56 verse 4 says, in God I will praise his word. In God I have put my trust, I will not fear what flesh can do unto me. Psalm 119 verse 162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. You've heard me say this verse before, that the writer of Psalms 119 said that the way that I react when I hear God speak to me is like that of someone winning the lottery. Someone winning one of those publisher clearinghouse checks. You ever see those? The news cameras come to the door and they got that giant, you know, check. And the lady opens the door. She's like in her bathrobe and got hair rollers in her hair and stuff. Looks like a hot mess. Said, you've just won $50 million. She's like, what? What? She starts running all over the place. Because she realizes, man, I'm set for life. My bills are taken care of. I'm getting me a new car. I'm getting me a new house. The writer of Psalms 119 said, the way I react when God speaks to me is like someone giving me a blank check for everything I need. Because God has given you a check for what you need. That's the reaction we got to have for the word of God. You want to know why pastor starts crying every time he reads the word of God? Because he knows it's true. He reveres the word of God with such an honor that he realizes that Almighty God is speaking to me. When you're reading the Bible, that's God speaking to you. It's no wonder that why he gets emotional and choked up, because it's so powerful. It's the most amazing thing there is the word of God. So, Rhema stage steps. Number one, recite or speak God's word out loud. Number two, pray God's word. Take the word of God to prayer. Whatever you're praying about, get chapter and verse to substantiate your case. Three, praise God for his word. Take time to praise God over his word being true. That just gets it in your spirit. You remember the time you were praising God over the word and the victory came. Finally, repeat. Do this every day. Do it over and over again till it gets drilled into your mind and into your spirit. Sister Browning, go ahead.
Talking about how precious the word of God is to you, and I react the same way, but I took up a magazine the other day and read about some people in China, and it just brought me to tears because in this, and they were appealing for donations, but this particular village had one Bible for the whole village. So what they did was they would take sections, separate pages, so each person had just a piece of the word. And I just began to think how we have several Bibles all over the house and we don't even read it sometimes, and yet people are giving their lives in China and they have one Bible for a whole village, and they're actually separating each page so that they can have something that they can read. So I just wanted to share that with you.
Very true. There actually is a video on YouTube of Chinese Christians receiving Bibles for the first time. It will bring you to tears. They open up these boxes of Bibles. They had to smuggle them into the country. And as they open up these boxes and they hand the Bibles, the Chinese Christians start bum-rushing the guy with the box, and they're grabbing the Bibles. And as they're grabbing the Bibles, they're hugging them and weeping because they don't get the Bible like that. It's what she's saying is absolutely true. We need to have a reverence for the Word of God. Sister Regina, you had a comment.
The word just came to me, too, with the command. The word says, study to show thyself approved. The opposite of approve is disapprove. So it's a commandment for us to study the word because we're studying our Lord and Savior. So,
amen. Well said. Well said. I got to move on. Got to move on. So speech is developed and learn by listening to others. Therefore, if we want to speak what God says, we should be listening to what God says. Your speech is directly related to what you are listening to, so change what you are listening to. You just go on the street, listen to how people talk. Every other word is a profanity or some sort of curse word. Where do they learn to talk about? Talk that way. It's because of what they've been listening to. A child develops its speech by listening to its parents or to the one speaking in its environment. And people's speech can be impeded or can be low because they have low speech around them. People who talk with more elevated speech or are more articulate, the individual will learn to become more articulate in their speech. Your speech is directly related to what you hear. And so if you want to start speaking God's word, start listening to God's word. Get a sermon. Our sermons are online on the website and also on our app or on Facebook Live. Find a good sermon and start listening to the Word of God. Start surrounding yourself with things that God is saying. Quit listening to what the world is saying. And that's why our minds are jacked up and why we're struggling our walk with God, because we're listening to the wrong thing. Surround your mind with some good gospel music, some music that has the Word of God in it that will encourage your spirit. And you'll find yourself much more strong and more zealous to do the things of God, because your thinking is on the Word of God, and also then your speech will be on the Word of God. Mark 4:23-24 says, if any man have ears to hear, let him hear. And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. Be careful what you're listening to. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again, and unto you that hear shall more be given. Keep listening to the Word of God so God can give you more. God wants to give you more, but if we're not listening and doing the thing that he told us before, how is he going to give us the next step? So some tips. How do I do this? Well, one, as I said in the first section, listen to the Bible and audio, because your speech is developed, of course, by what you listen to. Listen to sermons. Get sermons online if possible. Here's the big one. Find ways to incorporate Scripture into your conversation. The reason why we have a church is because we have people that we can fellowship with and talk about God. Get linked up with a brother and sister that you can break bread with and talk about the Word of God with, to incorporate God's Word in your speech. The Bible says that corrupt conversation, evil communication corrupts good manners in 1 Corinthians 15. I had a mental block. Even happens to me too. So the thing is, use the Word of God in your conversation as much as possible. Talk about godly concepts so that it's ever before your mind and your thinking. All right, final section. I'm going to wrap this up. The living word. It's supposed to say section number 3. That's a typo again. The greatest sign that we know God's word is that we are applying it and doing it. I said this at the beginning. It's not enough that you know it in your head. It's not enough that you can quote it, but if you're not living it, you don't know anything. There are people who can quote entire books of statistics of their favorite athlete, people who can quote paragraphs of their favorite lyrics of their favorite artist, their favorite lines of the favorite movie. But if they never actually met the artist, ever met the athlete, they don't really know them. They just know stuff about them. So until you apply and do the Word of God, you only know things about God, but you don't know Him. You've got to know the word. James chapter 1, I'm sorry, 1 John chapter 2, verse 3 through 5, says, and hereby we do know that we know him, if we keep his commandments. He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. But whoso keepeth his word, in him verily is the love of God perfected. Hereby know we that we are in him. The Bible says if you don't keep the word of God, and you say you know God, you're a liar. You're a liar. You don't know God. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. If you're only listening to the word of God or thinking about the word of God or saying the word of God but not doing it, the Bible says you are lying and deceiving yourself. You're deceiving yourself. The word of God was meant to be applied. Luke 6, 46 through 49. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? That alone will preach on its own. Jesus says, why you call me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Whosoever cometh to me and heareth my sayings and doeth them, I will show you to whom he is like. He is like a man which built an house and digged deep and laid the foundation on a rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently upon that house and could not shake it, for it's founded upon a rock. But he that heareth and doeth not is like a man that without a foundation built an house upon the earth, against which the stream did beat vehemently, and immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. The Bible says a person that hears the word and does it is like a person that builds their house on the rock. A person that hears the word and doesn't do it is someone who's basically, you got a false sense of security, because when trouble comes, the flood's going to wash you right out. It's doing the word that solidifies the word's truth in your heart and in your mind and in your speech. Okay, agapeo stage. I'm going to wrap this up real quick. Agapeo is the Greek word for love. It's agapeo is the God kind of love. It's the logos and the rhema in application. It's a decision to love, not based on feelings, but on commitment. When we take the logos, which is the ideas, the thoughts of God, and we take the rhema, the declarations, the spoken things of God, and we live it out, we're doing agapeo. We're showing that we love God. And also, we're showing that we love our neighbor as well. That's what agapeo is. Agapeo is about, not about feelings and emotions, it's about choices and decisions and obedience. It's the God type of love. God chose to love us. In John 3:16, which says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that word there is agapeo, that God made a choice. He made a decision to love us no matter what. It is vitally important in scripture memorization to get a love and a respect for God's word, because what you love, you follow and obey. Now, to kind of answer the question that's talking about, well, I'm not really into the word of God, you know, all this other stuff, give you a little snapshot here. Getting a love for the word will cause you to learn the word. Think about it. You go on Twitter. You got, you know, certain celebrities that have millions of followers. Why are they following and hanging on every little word and tweet that they say? Because they love them. They aspire to be like them. They want to emulate them. What you love, you follow and obey. So if you want to learn the word of God, you need to first fall in love with the word of God. And the way that you do that is just by, well, as to steal the phrase from Nike, just do it. Just do it. You may not like it at first, but the more you do it, your heart will start to follow your actions. It's a psychological principle. What you do, your heart will follow suit. The Bible says that where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Whatever you treasure and you invest in, your heart and your affections will follow afterwards. To steal an example from my brother Paul, he told this story about a girl he took to prom on a date. And he didn't have any attraction to her whatsoever, just was trying to be a gentleman. And he said, well, no, on this night, I'm gonna be like, you know, as if I was her boyfriend, to be nice and romantic and be a gentleman to her. And as he did this, to start to open the door for her and being kind to her, he started to find her attractive towards the end of the night. And the reason why was, and he had no attraction before, the reason why is because his actions were telling his heart where to go. The more he invested in her, the more his heart started to develop an affection for her. What you invest in, you love. And so it's the same through the word of God. Start investing yourself in the word of God. The more you invest in it, the more your heart says, this is important, I need to follow after this thing. And you'll start to develop a love for the word of God. Again, I didn't start off just loving the word of God at first. I started doing this really to fulfill an oath I made to God. If you guys know my testimony, that I came into the ministry because I had an experience where I saw the souls of the damned in hell, and that they were blaming me for being there, and I needed to do something to prevent them from going there. So I gave my life to ministry, to become a minister of the gospel so I could be equipped to win the lost. That's why I started doing it. I started doing it because no one's going to hell on my watch. I wanted to do it because I wanted to be able to know the Word of God to win people to Christ. And that's why I would get up early in the morning, studying this thing, getting this thing in my heart, because I knew if I didn't know the Word of God, it could be hell for somebody. I didn't always like it at first. I didn't like getting up 5, 6 in the morning before school to do it, but I did it until I fell in love with it. But anyway, Sister Johnny had a comment or question.
Comment. The Bible says that no man builds a house without counting the cost. And so to live for God, you have to count the cost. In fact, he says for to live for him, you have to deny yourself first before you're able to come to him.
Amen. You definitely need to count the cost. And again, don't try and learn like a whole chapter. You know, just start with something small. Start with one verse has tons of revelation and power. It's amazing. Just start with one verse and meditate on that thing and memorize it. Commit it to memory. Start figuring out a way to apply it in your life and watch God work. My final points. Okay, here's some facts about the agapeo stage. Or I should say, what does love have to do with remembering the Word of God? Well, you remember the things that you love the most. The thing that you love the most is something that you think about the most, so you remember it the most. Psalm 119:97 says, "Oh, how I love thy law. It is my meditation all the day." When you ever fell in love with somebody, or you had a crush on somebody, and just you're at school, you just write little notes, you know. You're at home and you can't wait to hear their voice or make a phone call. You're thinking about them and you think, "Oh, I can't wait to see them when we go on this particular date." What you're in love with, you think about the most and you remember the most. And it's the same thing with the Word of God and memorization. If you fall in love with God, you'll want to remember what He said. Psalm 119:140 says, "Thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it." It's pure because of its purity, because of its integrity. I love the Word of God. So, actually, I already said this question. I meant to put it here. Number two, love is the basis for knowing God's words, God's nature, and His Word. God's nature and His Word. Love is the basis for knowing God's nature and His Word. I quoted this verse earlier in John chapter 1 that in the beginning was the Word, the Logos, and the Word of the Logos was with God, and the Word of the Logos was God. We see in verse 14 that it says, "And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth." In other words, the Logos became physical, became actualized, became tangible. And as we've just read in chapter 1, the Logos or the Word was God Himself. God took on a human body. Now, what exactly is God? 1 John 4:7 through 8 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and look, knoweth God." Notice the knowing of God is tied to loving God. "He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love." So what we just read in John 1:14, the Logos or the Word, which was love, took on a body and walked around and healed the sick and raised the dead and cleansed the lepers. That's what love is. So the reason why love is associated with remembering the Word of God, because God is love. And you don't know God until you know His love. Number three, love actualizes and fulfills the Word of God. John 14:15. "If ye love me," and that Greek word there is agapeo, "keep my commandments." If you really love me, then you'll keep and do and obey what I have said. Matthew 27:35-40, Jesus quoting the Shema, he says, "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' Jesus said to him, 'Thou shalt love,'" and that Greek word there is agapeo again, "'the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets," all of the Word of God. Every promise, every commandment, every law is premised on love. Jesus summed up every commandment in the Word of God with just two: loving God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and loving your neighbor as yourself. That's it. Pretty much this. You can sum all of Christianity by doing this. You have to make a decision. If me doing this decision causes me not to love the Lord my God with all my heart, soul, and mind, or it's not showing love to my neighbor as myself, don't do it. That's it. Use those two principles. That will guide you in pretty much any choice you make. Will this choice help me to display my love for God with all my heart, soul, and mind? Or will this choice help me to show my love for my neighbor as myself? The answer is yes, do it. If it does show this, if it does display this, that's a principle that you can use in making decisions. 1 Timothy 1:5 says, now the end of the commandment is charity. In the Greek word there is agape, or which is the root word for agapeo, out of a pure heart and of a good conscience and of faith unfeigned, which means sincere faith, faith that's not fake or false. The end of the fulfillment of the commandment of God is that of agape, is applying the word of God in love. Actually, I'll skip this for the sake of time. I'm just going to keep moving on. I'm going to get to the main points here. Here we go. So, the word of God is what we do, but love is how we do it. So, there are people who do apply the word of God, but they don't apply it in love. And that's the key. People have truth, but truth by itself is destructive, it is condemning, it is repulsive, it is divisive. People who just have truth but don't have love destroy people. They're judgmental, they are self-righteous, and they are oppressive. However, love without truth is weak and powerless. It enables sin and wickedness because it just keeps letting you have more chances and doesn't tell you to change. When the word of God says in Proverbs 27 verses 5 through 6 that open rebuke is better than secret love. Faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. That love, real love, should have truth in it, because love without it, all it does is enable wickedness. It's powerless and has no ability to change or transform someone from sin to righteous. But when you have a combination of both, then you've got power. When you've got truth and you have love, you have the power to change someone's life. Sister Johnny.
That's so amazing, Brother Chris, because I was listening at a person, and you really would think that they're not saved, but it's so amazing because they're so powerful with the word of God. But listening at the word, how they speaks it really makes you mad because mm-hmm. you're saying, like, the way you're listening to how they speaking in your mind, you're saying, like, well, I ain't got no hope, you know? What am I going to do? Mm-hmm. You know, but then you have to know about what the Bible say, because when you hear the scripture that says he who wins souls is wise, it takes something to do that.
It sure does. So, yeah, there are people who can quote scriptures, but they do it in such a way that's judgmental and oppressive, like I'm better than you. And they use the word of God like an axe just to chop people's conscience down, or like a bat just to beat people down. You're a sinner and you're going to hell. And you're blah, 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 blah. Again, truth without love is destructive. Again, but love without truth, and then you got people who say, well, you can just do whatever you want. God loves you anyway. We just love everybody and just pray for everybody. Just do everything. This is my Bible. I'm sorry. I better leave that alone. Anyway, so I'll leave that alone. But anyway, you get people that just affirm everything's okay as if there is no holiness. You get the hyper-grace people that God just accepts anything. He doesn't. It enables sin. People just have love, but no truth. You got to have both. Where someone is truthful and telling you, got to stop doing that. But God still loves you, and God will give you the grace and the ability to get out of that sin. You got to have a good blend. And that's why the final stage of scripture memorization is applying the word of God in love. Ephesians 4:14-15, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love. Notice the combination. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head of even Christ. When we speak the truth in love, the Bible says that we grow up into Christ, which is the head of the church. When we speak the truth in love, that's when the church matures and grows, and also sinners can be saved. It's not just how much you know. People don't care about how much you know until they know how much you care, right? You got to have a combination of both. Okay, so final step, and I'm closing. I'm closing with this. Apply God's word to your actions in love. Take that verse you've been meditating on, that you've been confessing, and find a way to do it or apply it in an everyday situation and in a way that shows God's love. When you do that, then you have now demonstrated a maturity. You have now demonstrated a full experiential knowledge of God's word, that I know God in my mind, I know God in my speech, and I know God in my actions. Now I truly know the word of God. So just to review, the logo stage steps: choose a topic of scriptures you want to learn. Research the scriptures. Compile a list of scriptures on that topic. Meditate on the word of God. Think about it. Rhema stage, recite or speak God's word out loud. Fifthly, pray God's word. Use the word of God in prayer. Praise God for his word and repeat it every day. Finally, apply God's word to your actions in love. When you do that, then you know the word of God and you won't forget it. I've lived by this and it works. When you do this, you will know the word of God. The thing is, you don't want to be in a battle. Let's say you're in a battle right now, and like bullets are flying over you, and you're trying to find where your gun is and when your bullets are. I think I packed my machine gun. Where is it? Where's that grenade? You want to have yourself equipped before you get to the battle. But what most people do is, when hell starts breaking loose on you, now you're trying to find your gun. Now you're trying to find the word and trying to get a scripture to quote and see and trying to get enough faith to believe whether or not it's true. If you do this prior to the situation, when the battle comes, you'll have a thus says the Lord to that situation. If thou be the Son of God. Yeah, I am a son of God. And this is what the word of God says about me and about you. And now I'll prove it by me laying hands on this situation and watching it change. That's how you know the word of God. Let's stand. I'm closing. I got to quit. So I tried to, I know I covered a lot of stuff. This Bible study was originally designed for a 4-week course that I taught in theology, and I tried to condense it into an hour. So that was, hopefully I covered most of the points. Even though I cut out a lot of stuff, I tried to get it all through. But hopefully now you have now a method in how to memorize scripture. This is what I've done since my teenage years, and it has served me well in knowing the word of God. To meditate in the word of God, to speak the word of God, and to apply it in my actions.
The Lord keeps bringing me to when I'm home and reading over his word. I believe it's in Corinthians 9. I read through verse 1 through 15. I won't read it now. But it just teaches us about being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causes through us thanksgiving to God. So I think that plays into what you're saying, because God is giving us and supplying us with everything that, as long as he creates the bounty for us, so that as long as we're able to, you know, show him that we're wanting to build ourselves up and structure ourselves and edify each other. So
amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, I hope this was helpful. I know I went kind of fast. If you didn't get all of it, just watch the tape or the recording and you can take notes. Or if you want the full Bible study, because again, this was the condensed version. There was actually more material that I had that's in the full version of this. You can come see me. I can email you the presentation. You can kind of go over the notes that way. But I hope this has blessed you. This has been feeding me. This has just been blessing me, just meditating on the word of God. And that way you'll have an answer for when the enemy comes. I'm going to turn this over to Pastor. God bless you.